talking on all political subjects and taking on all callers, this is Matt Flynn Direct with your host, Matt Flynn. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down.
Go tell that long tongue. Welcome to Matt Flynn Direct on Devil Radio. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. No subject is off limits. All points of view are welcome. And remember, you're not woke if you don't know history. You're not woke unless and until you know history. And as always, we're going right to the front lines of history in the making. And as always, we're going to give away a free Devil Radio t-shirt to the third caller today. Lots to talk about, a long weekend. We're going to get started right now. First of all, early in the weekend, a piece of good news in the prosecution of the insurrection of January 6th, a fellow named John Schaefer, an oath keeper, he's one of the oath keepers. He pled guilty, he's going to get a reduced sentence, and he's cooperating with the government. And the reason that's significant is there are more than 300 prosecutions pending. And there's some evidence, if you take a look at the video, people with military experience note that there are some of the insurrectionists who are keeping a military formation and clearly had anticipated this and planned for it before it started. Many of the people were just swept along because Trump lied and said he'd go with them, take the Capitol. You're not going to take back your government by being weak. Rudy Giuliani said trial by combat. They got it all lathered up and it was basically a directionless mob. But within the mob, there were people in military formations. And that is where John Schaefer's testimony will be very valuable. With the Oath Keepers, the Proud Boys. Proud Boys, by the way, have been designated a terrorist organization in Canada as a result of the January 6th insurrection. So stay tuned to the prosecutions. But to have somebody from the Oath Keepers essentially turn, become a state's witness, federal government witness, in return for leniency is very, very good news. Going elsewhere, Russia has expelled 10 U.S. diplomats. Remember, the United States expelled Russian diplomats, a number of Russian organizations, and said that we are not going to permit our banks to deal in bonds that are denominated in rubles. That's a crippling blow to China, to Russia's attempt to get financing for some of its projects. This is all in retaliation for the hacking into SolarWinds and for the other Republican skullduggery that they've been up to. And this doesn't even include the slow murder of Alexei Navalny in Russia, but it does include the buildup at the Ukrainian border. And Joe Biden said he could have done far more, and he decided not to now, and then he called Putin. And he said that he wanted a summit in a third country, not in Russia, not in the United States. I think that's a good development. And the Russians now are signaling that they are receptive to that. Now, what's going on here? Why are the Russians afraid of us economically? The Russians are afraid of us economically because their economy is the size of Italy's. Not to denigrate Italy, but Italy is a lot smaller country. And the fact is that Italy does not have one of the larger economies in the world, neither does Russia. The other thing that they're desperately afraid of, the United States' influence in the world banking system is so extraordinary. We have so many different large banks that if the president orders the banks not to deal with an individual, not to cash their checks, not to freeze their bank accounts, he can bring a nation to its knees, including Russia. You may remember on a show a week or so ago, Trump, when he was president, decided to freeze the bank account of a guy in Venezuela who was a higher up, basically a Venezuelan communist is what he was, destroying his country. Unfortunately, there was a guy in Italy who owned a series of pizza parlors with the identical name. And Trump's Treasury Department mistakenly froze that guy's bank account, and he almost went out of business. Now, that's poor. I think that's cold, very, very cold. And fortunately, he got back on track. And I think our Treasury Department under Biden will make reparations for the losses that he had. But if the United States did that to Russia, if they froze the bank accounts of Russia in the United States and simply told our allies, you better do the same thing, Russia would be on its knees the next day. Paychecks would bounce. They wouldn't be to government employees over there. Welfare payments would bounce. That would be the equivalent of a nuclear attack. And we are not going to do something like that lightly. Remember, we just had a mission come back from the space shuttle that had Russian astronauts and an American astronaut. The odd thing is, Russia and America are collaborating on space probes, at least as far as the shuttle. Not to the moon. We're not letting them in on that. But how do you partner with somebody halfway, and then the other halfway, they're hacking into our elections, they're murdering people. They murdered somebody in Salisbury, England, murdered somebody in Berlin. How do you deal with that? How do you deal with a joint space program to the space shuttle, but having them mass troops on the Ukrainian border? Biden is an expert at foreign policy. Of all the presidents that we've had, certainly going back to Harry Truman, he is, well, I suppose Dwight Eisenhower, but he is the most experienced in foreign policy. And we're lucky that we have him in there right now. So Russia expelled 10 of ours. We've expelled theirs, and we've let them know that they better not go into Ukraine. I'm hoping that there will be a summit between Biden and Putin in a third country, somewhere in Europe. And usually they pick Geneva, they pick Paris, that kind of thing. And we can ratchet this down. What Putin's trying to do is he has intense internal pressure. You know, there are thousands of Putins over there that like to kill him and take over. And he's desperately afraid of some kind of a coup. So he keeps an iron hand. He's desperately anxious to turn attention away from Alexei Navalny's plight in prison. And so we keep the pressure up. Anyway, they expelled 10 of ours. We expelled theirs. Their people have been spying in our country for a long time. We follow them. We track them. But who knows? They sneak away maybe for an afternoon and do something that we don't, that we're not able to monitor. One other thing, back to Washington, D.C., there is a Republican senator who's bad news named James Risch of Idaho. James Risch of Idaho, right-wing guy. Very bland, just sits around, doesn't do much, potted plant, no value. He provides no value at all to the nation. Republican senator from Idaho. But he did something the other day that really, it goes farther in an odd way, even though it wasn't all that important than the Republicans have done so far. You know that a senator right now is permitted to hold something up, a nomination, a bill, just one senator. By sort of raising his hand, says, yeah, I freeze that. They think they have a pretty high opinion of themselves, all of them. They think they're God. They, you know, one of them can do it and screw up the other 99 in the United States, but that's what they do. Well, James Risch held up a bill the other day, and listen to this. It was a bipartisan bill against China, to some sanctions against China, that he co-sponsored. He co-sponsored it. He was one of the bipartisan co-sponsors of a bill that is addressing the fact that China has gone in and shut down democracy in Hong Kong, is threatening the South China Sea, threatening the Philippines, threatening Navy ships. And the Senate came up with a bipartisan bill. And James Risch of Idaho was one of the sponsors. And this son of a gun then holds it up. Why would he hold that up? He holds it up to show that he can hold it up. because he's done nothing. He burps and yawns, stumbles into his office at 10 in the morning when he comes in at all, and he wants to show he's a big guy. That's what he does. This is how nihilistic the Republican Party has become. Absolutely nihilistic, the Republican Party. They hold up nominees. Cruz and Hawley held up a lot of nominees that Biden had put up for his cabinet. Biden had put up for other positions. You know, you think of the cabinet, that requires Senate approval, but there are many hundreds of other positions that require Senate approval. And usually you have the committees look at it. They see the guy's background check, that kind of thing. And they say, oh, okay. But no, Cruz and Hawley essentially held up Biden's filling his government for several months, and they're continuing to hold it up. This Senate rule that one idiot can raise his hand and say, I freeze it, has got to go. If you have statesmen in there, if you have people like Bill Proxmire or fighting Bob La Follette, okay, cool, cool. But you don't have that. You have Rand Paul, you have Ted Cruz, and you have James Risch of Idaho, all of whom are bad news and cannot be permitted to have that kind of a luxury. Going to a break. The lines are still open. 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break.
Tell them that God's gonna cut you down. Tell them that God's gonna cut you down. Tell them that God's gonna cut you down.